We are here in Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. We had just quoted the Mishnah, the last Mishnah, before we get to the halachos of Yom Kippur proper. We talked about the differences between the Kohen Gadol's clothing and the Kohen Hedyot's clothing. And if you remember, the Gemara had started to discuss how we know how the clothing are woven. We had different words that indicated how many strings would be in each thread. We said Sheish was, as its name right connotes, right, there were six strings in one thread, and now we're at we're 10 lines up on the skinny lines. Right, the last word of the line is Moshzar. When that phrase is used, right, so that's the Gemara had said is Shmona. That means that there are eight strings in a single thread. So the Gemara says Minalan. How do you know that's true? The Chetiv Pasuk says Vayasu al Shulei Hamil. They made on the end of the me'il, right, of the robe, rimone, right, pomegranates made out of cloth, right, not real pomegranates, but pomegranates made out of cloth, techeles for argaman, telas shani mashzar. They were made out of techeles, blue cloth, argaman was, I think, purple, telas shani was red, and mashzar, what is mashzar? Mashzar in parochas. We learn exer shav from the parochas. Emalahalan esrim ba'arba. So afkan esrim ba'arba, just like by the parochas. It was also 24 strands, because again, if you have four different types of wool, or do you have the what's called the tcheles argaman telas shani and sheish? That's the four things, the four wool, and the sheish is the linen. So that's each one had four. Four each of the four types of string had six, like we said before, like sheish. So too over here, there were 24 by the pamonim, by the at the bottom of the me'il. Which tells me that over here, right, there was no sheish. It was just the three ones that we mentioned. Tcheles, argaman, telas shani. So each one of them had eight, therefore a total of 24. So Gemara says, okay, why do you learn gzer shava mashzar from the parochas? Why didn't you learn it from the choshen and the ephod? Because you also have the word mashzar there. So the pasuk and malahal and esrim mishmona, avkan esrim mishmona. But just like over there, it was 28. Right, so too over here, it's 20. The rimonim should be 28. So Gemara says, "Dun in davar shalom nigbar nemar bozav midavar shalom nemar bozav lafuke choshen veifod nemar bahenzav." Right, we're not, since the choshen veifod had gold in it. Right, we'd rather stick with two items that didn't have gold. So therefore, we're going to learn the paroches right to the pamonim on the meil. So Gemara says, "Well, adrabba, done in beged mi beged, right? Lafuke paruches de olu." But I have a different reason why you shouldn't learn the pamonim, the pomegranates, the rimonim, right? Sorry, not the right pamov rimon. Is that so? The rimonim from the paruches, because the paruches wasn't clothing, right? The one thing that the choshen neifot has on the paruches is that it was a piece of clothing, right? Why don't you compare? Why don't you have the gzer shava right, from two pieces of clothing, and therefore it should be 28. So Gemara says, you're right. Ela donim mi avneit. Rather, no, it's better if we learn it from clothing, and therefore we'll learn it from the avneit, from the belt of the Kohen Gadol, which also had 24. Right? That's something that's a piece of clothing. That's something that does not have any gold in it. And therefore, we won't connect the pamonim, the rimonim, sorry, at the bottom of the ephod. Bottom of the ephod, bottom of the me'il, right? We won't count these pamonim. We won't learn that out from the choshen or the ephod, which did have gold right in its attached to it. Okay, fine. Rav Mari says no. The pasuk says Ta'asenu k'siv. Right? The pasuk says Ta'asenu and Ta'asenu l'tzev lo la'acher. Right? The psukim right over there talking about the ephod, right, and the choshen. Ta'asenu, meaning you have to make those specifically like that, i.e. 28 strands, right, and not like anything else. So that Rav Mari says, forget the gzer shava. Right? I have a pasuk. The pasuk says you have to make the choshen and the ephod specifically for that and not for anything else, so you can't learn one to the next. Ravashi says, no, I can bring you a different pasuk. Right? The pasuk says, V'asisa, right? You should make. And that's about the pamonim, right? Pamonim, techeles, argaman, telas shani, V'asisa. What is V'asisa? Shiyu kol asios shavos. Right? That tells me that all of them, all of the wool mentioned, right? Techeles, argaman, telas shani, right? They should all be the same. So the Gemara says, well, V'hechinavit, how are you going to get, right? All of them have the same number of strings. How are you going to get all of them, right? If you have only three different types of wool, how are you going to have all of them, right, to get to 28, right? If you're going to connect it to the ephod and the choshen, which had 28 strands, in strings within their within their threads. So how do you divide 28 into 3? Right, 24 into 3 works great. You have 8 in each. But how do you get 28 into 3? Navid Tlasa, what are you going to make 3 of 10? Havlu Tlasa, that's 30. Right, Navid Trey, the Tisha, Vachad the Asara, if you're going to do 2 9s and 1 10, so that's what we just quoted, right? Amar Kura, Vyasisa, Pazik says Vyasisa, Shiyu Kol Asiyos Shavos, that all of the strings involved should be equal. So therefore, right, again, it makes a lot more sense, right, to connect it to the 24 strings of the avnet, of the belt of the Kohen Gadol. Okay, Me'il Shnei Masar, we said the Me'il, the robe that the Kohen Gadol wore, which was entirely made out of Tcheles, so that was 12 strings within a thread. So the Gemara says, Minalan, how do you know? Dichtiv, because the Pasuk says, Vesisa is a Me'il Eifod, right? You should make the Me'il Eifod, right? Kalil Tcheles, right? It says, Kalil, very often usually means entirely, but Kalil Rashi says, right? Gedil, which means braided. Right, made out of tcheles. If you love tcheles mi parochas, and we learn it from the parochas, right? Malahal and shisha, afkan shisha. Just like you had the tcheles involved in the parochas with 6, so do over here. So if you have 2 strings, or I guess 2 threads of 6 each, right, that gets you to 12. So the Gemara says, why'd you learn from the parochas? Right, same thing. Neilif mishulov rimanav, right? Why don't we learn from somewhere else? Right, forget the parochas. You can learn it from the tcheles in the rimonim, in the pomegranates, right? At the end of the meal, which we just talked about, and malahalan shmona afkan shmona, right? And you can learn that there's 8 in each thread, and therefore you should end up with 16. So Gemara says, done in kli mi kli, and done in kli mi takshi kli. So we're going to learn a kli, not literally one of the kalim of Beis Hamikdash, but one of the kalim that goes on the coin, right? We're going to learn a kli, a piece of clothing. Right, from the Mishnah very often will use the word kalim to refer to clothing. So we're going to learn a kli from a kli, i.e., what's it called? Not the meal. What are we learning here? We're up to the meal. Yeah, meal. I was right. We're learning the meal from the parochas, and we're not going to learn it from something that's just a takshit, right? Like the pomegranates, which are just on the bottom, are just a takshit on the bottom. It's not really a kli. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Adrava, done in gufo me gufo, vein done in gufo me alma. Right? What are you talking about? It's better for us to learn from the actual item itself, right? We're learning the me'il, right? Why don't we learn the me'il from something that's on the me'il, right? Why are you learning it from something that's off the me'il, right? The parochas is not involved with the me'il at all, right? The pomegranates, the rimonim, are on the me'il at the bottom. So just learn from there. Gemara says, "Hainu Damrina." That's what we said. The Shavu Gadim Shul Nemar Bem Sheish. Right, that's what we pointed out. That one of the things we said that the extra word Sheish, right, teaches us that we need it for other begadim. Right, if you remember that brisa, we said we had 5 times the pasuk said Sheish, and all of them are not necessary. So one of them is for other begadim that they need to be 6. So therefore, what other begadim are we talking about? That's talking about the Me'il. Okay, Paruchas is Arba. As we mentioned, the Paruchas had 24 strings in each thread. So Gemara says, Arba the Shisa, Shisa. Right, each one was 6. Right, again, and if you had 4 of them, right, Tcheles, Ragaman, Tolas, Shani, and Sheish. So all 4 of those had 6 each. That gets you to 24. And Lodin of Lodina, meaning that's just makes a lot of sense, right? That's Pashut, right? No one can argue on that. It literally means there's no judgment and there's no judge, right? Dina is a judge, right? Dina is a court din, right? A court case, rather. Right, there's nothing you can think about. Right, that's Pashut. Okay, Choshen ve'Efod Isrim v'Shmona, as we mentioned, the Choshen and the Efod had 28. So Gemara says, Minolan, how do you know? The Chtiv, Pasuk says, V'asiz ha'Choshen mishpat ma'asich ho'shev k'maseh Efod ta'asenu, Zahav t'cheles ragamam t'las sheni v'shesh mashzar. So you have Arba d'shisa shisa, as you have the 4 ones that we mentioned, right? As usual, the right tchilas are gaman tala sheni v'sheish. Those have 6 each. That's esrim v'arba. That gets you to 24. And zahav, right? The gold, as we mentioned at the beginning, right? In each, right, there were strands of gold in these threads. So you have 4. Zahav esrim v'timnia, and that gets you to 28. So the Gemara says, why does the gold have to be 4? Right? Imazav namishisha. Why? Everything else is 6 strands, right? 6 strings. Why didn't you make the gold 6? As well, so Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Amar Kol, because the pasuk says v'kitzeitz pisilim, meaning that v'kitzeitz, right, kitzeitz is to cut, and pisilim like a psil tcheles, right? That's a string, that's a strand. So the Gemara says psil, right? Why did it say psilim? It should have said psil. So the Gemara says psilim, arekan arba, right? It must be two strands, right? And since it says you cut them, right, kitzetz, you cut them, so that's harikan arba. So if you have psilim, which is plural, that's two, right? When you hold, right, two strings and you cut it down the middle, you end up with four, so that's how you know it was four. Amar Ravashi, Ravashi says a different pasuk. Amar Kral, the pasuk says, lasos besoch ha-techeles u-besoch ha-argaman, right, to put the gold in the techeles and in the argaman, hechi navid, how do you do this? Right, navid arba the tre-tre, if you're going to take four sets of the two, so avalu timnia, right, meaning if you can do four and four in each of them, right, in four strings in the techeles and four strings in the argaman, so then you're going to have eight. Right, that doesn't work. Havelu timnia. Right, navid trei the trei trei. Right, if you're going to do two sets of each, you trade the chad chad and two sets in one. Right, so then veasisa. I mean, you can't split it up. They have two by, let's say, two by the tcheles and one by the argaman. That doesn't make sense because veasisa. The pasuk says, should you call this yud shavos? Right, you have to have all of them. Right, everything has to be equal. Have to be lined up. So therefore, that doesn't work out. So therefore, since there's no other possibility, right, since you're putting the gold into A, the tcheles, and B, the argaman, so you can have two and two. That's going to be four. It doesn't make sense. Right? Six doesn't work out mathematically. Okay, fine. Amar Rachva, Amar Rav Yehuda. Hamakare Big Day Kahuna Loka. If you tear the Big Day Kohanim for whatever reason, so you get Malkus. It's an Isser in the Torah. Shneimar, but it says, Lo Yikorea. They should not be torn. Kumar says, Maskav L'Ravacha Bar Yaakov. He asked the question, what are you talking about? Maybe that this is what the Pasuk means. Navidle Safa Ki Hechidulun Nikara. Nikreya, I'm not sure. But maybe it means that you should make an edge, a hem, right? A Safa is the edge, right? So that it won't tear. Meaning, right, you have a shirt. You look down, I'm wearing a t-shirt right now. So at the edge of it, right, it's not just fabric that kind of floats at the end. Right, it's peeled backwards into some sort of hem, right, to close it off to make sure it doesn't tear. Maybe the same thing with the Big Day Kahuna. Right, that's what it means. So Gemara says, no, miksiv shelo yikareya. It doesn't say make sure that it won't tear. It says lo yikareya, don't tear it. So that must be an isser, right? Then you're not allowed, right, to go and tear it. Now Pashas says that if you remember that we mentioned that they did used to actually tear the Big Day Kahuna at some point when they became worn out, that they used to use them. It says at the end of the Masechta Sukkah that they used to use them for the lighting of the lamps by Simchas Beis Shoeva. Okay, we'll get there in a couple of months. Okay, but Pasha says again, the Big Day Kahuna that were in use, right, not something that had already been worn out, already retired. Okay, Bam Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, Hamaziach Choshen Me'al HaEifod. If someone takes off the Choshen from the Eifod, again, the choshen was on the ephod, right? That's how it was attached. So, if I may see by the aron, and similarly, someone who takes out the poles in the aron, loke, he gets malchus. Shneimar's pasuk says lo yizach velo yasuro. Now, that's the pasuk. Those pasukim are nowhere near each other. But once we're talking about, you know, again, this topic of not tearing a Big Day Kahuna, so similarly, if you take the choshen off the ephod, or you take the poles out of the ark, out of the aron, so then right, that is usher because it says similarly, do not do this, right? Don't take it off and don't remove them. So same question. Maskola Ravacha Bar Yaakov Dilma Ki Haki. Well, Haki Kamar Rachmana. Maybe this is what the pasuk means. That Chadkinu Vavdinu Shapir. Maybe it's just telling you to tighten it, make sure it's fastened one to the next. So that it won't fall off and it won't be taken out. So Kamar says the same thing, right? Miksiv Shalou Yizach V'Shalou Yisuru doesn't mean that you should attach it so that it won't fall off or so that it won't fall out. But it says no, don't do these things, right? So that must be an Isser. Okay, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Rami, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina noticed that there are two psukim, they seem to be contradictory. See, the pasuk says on the one hand, "B'tavos Aron yu abadim lo yasurim imenu," that the badim have to be in the rings that are on the side of the aron; they should not leave it. Uksiv, and the pasuk also says, "V'uvav es badav b'tavos," that you should put the poles right in the rings. So I understand. Meaning, do they? What's it called? You don't take them out, or should you put them in? Now, Agav, that pasuk is slightly incorrect. It shouldn't be v'huvaz badav. That pasuk is actually talking about the mizbeach. Right? There should be v'hevesas habadim batabos. Right? The pesukim right in Tetzaveh and Truma Tetzaveh are all very very similar. Should be v'hevesam. It must be because that pasuk is talking about the aron, but it says you should put the badim batabaos. You should put the poles in the rings, right? So Hakate said, how could you put it in, right? If it was already in, they were not allowed to be, right, removed. This Gemara says, "Misparkin ve'ein nishmatin," because they were loose, right? But they didn't release the whole way, right? Okay, it's fine. Tanya b'hachav yosam on the reisa b'taba osa aron yu abadim, right? The poles should be in the rings, right? Yachol yelo yizosim imkoman. You might have thought they should be fastened completely; they shouldn't move at all. Kamalom, where therefore the pasuk says, "V'huva esbadav b'taba os." Again, it should be ve'eves esbadav b'taba os. That you should put it right into the rings, meaning that obviously there was some leeway there that you could move it, right? If it would have only said that you should put the poles in the rings, you might have thought that they should in and out completely, right? When they would set up the Mishkan, they would take the poles out completely. So that's not true. Tal Malomar, therefore the pasuk says that the poles need to be in the rings. Hakitzad, how so? So nishpatin misparkin vein nishpat. Right, they were there. They were in there, but they were loose. Right, they didn't come out completely. Okay. Amar Rabbi Chama bar Rabbi Chanina. Again, we're just going through different aspects in the Mishkan. What does it mean when the pasuk says "Atzei Shitim Amudim"? You should make the beams. Right. Again, if you ever look at a picture book of the Mishkan, right, the walls were not walls. They were just a bunch of poles. Right, one next to each other, which were very close to each other, but they were just a bunch of poles. So that was the poles made of shitim or cedar wood. So they were standing. Right? Omdim, they're standing there. So what does that mean? Sha'omdim derech gidilosan. They would stand the way they grew, meaning up to down. Right. However, they cut it out of the tree. Right. That's how they would make it. And the bottom, right, would be fastened in the bottom, and then the top would be on top. Davar acher. Another way to understand what omdim. What does it mean? Omdim. Excuse me. Sha'amidim es tzipuyam. They stand up the tzipuy zahav, the coating of gold. Right, there's a very thin coating of gold around all of the all of the atzei shitim of all the wood, all the beams. That's the word I'm looking for. Right, so there's a little bit of gold, a wood. So the wood would prop up the gold. Davar acher omdim. What else does it mean that they were omdim? They were standing. Shema tomar avad sivran ubatel sikuyon. Right, maybe if you say that there's no more sikuy, right? There's no more hope. There's no more help. It's all gone. Maybe again after the Mishkan is not used anymore or taken away, etc. Tamal omar omdim. Therefore, he tells me that omdim it's still standing. Sha omdim laolam laolamim. That it will always be there. Meaning, as Marsha explains, that the wood usually disappears, right, as it rots, right? Again, the Beis Hamikdash, theoretically, if they had taken away the stones, and they didn't, but if they take away the stones, the stones kind of stick around, right, for millennia. But wood usually rots. So that means, no, that don't worry, the Atzei Shitim are still omdim. They're still wherever they are, they're still standing, right? They haven't been contaminated, they haven't, been rotted or decrepit or whatever. Okay, Amar Rabbi Chama bar Chanina. What does it mean when the pasuk says, "As big day hasarad the shabbos b'kodesh"? What are these big day sarad that they would use, to cover the kelim in the Mishkan? So the pasuk, so Gemara says, "Ilmali big day guna." So really, also talking about the big day guna as well. So really, that pasuk is talking about the things they threw over the what's it called. The kelim. Okay, fine. Also, Mustafa Pasha is talking about the big tikkun as well. So because Gemara is not going to learn a drasha to the big tikkun. Okay, ilmali big tikkun. If we had not had the big tikkun, lo nishtar misonem mishal Yisrael saru poli. There would have been no remnants, right? No remainder of Am Yisrael at all. Right? I mean, the Gemara uses a euphemism, right? It says from the enemies of Am Yisrael, but it really means the Jew. There would be no leftovers from the Jews, because again, as Rashi says, right, the Kohanim are mechaper for us, right? When they do the avoda in the big day kahuna, so the big day kahuna were crucial for the survival of Am Yisrael, right, to atone for their sins. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Omer, debay Rabbi Shimon Tana, right? He taught in the name of Rabbi Shimon, the base manager of Rabbi Shimon. Begadim shegorin noson kivri asan mikleihem, right? These are begadim that are cut off from Kalehem, are the looms that they are sewn from. Musardin mehen klum, but some of it is left over. Mayhi, what in the world does that mean? So Rish Lakish Amar Elu Maisei Machat. There still is a little bit of machat, is a needle. There's still a little bit of sewing. There's still a little bit of needlework that is necessary, right, after you take the begadim, right, off of the loom, right, there still was some sort of attaching that you needed to do. Meisvei, one second, hold on. Bidegune, inosin masi machat, right, so the Brisa says that there's no sewing done, right, no needlework, right, done on the Big Day Kahuna. Ela Ma'aseh Oreg, it was all woven, right? Woven with these looms. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, right? Says straight up, Ma'aseh Oreg, right? That's Kafi Sakhra, right? Etc. That says straight up, he had to make it out of the loom. So Amar Abaye says, Lo Nitzcha Ela Beis Yad Shalem. No, the Beis Yad, the sleeves. Right there, they needed a little bit of stitching. Because the Tanya Kolod the Rebbeisa Beisiyat Shabek Degeuna Neageres Bifnei Atzma. Right, the sleeves were Neageres Oreg. Right, they were woven. They were woven separately. Right, even Beges and Beged Umagaz Ad Pisa Zead, and they were attached to the Beged. Right, and they went down to the ankle to the wrist. Right, thank you. Right, they went down to the wrist. Pisas Yad really probably means the palm, but his thumb is a little bit past the wrist. Okay, anyway, so you see that the sleeves were woven separately and then attached right at the shoulder pashtas with some sewing. Okay, Amar Rachva, Amar Rav Yehuda, Shalosh Aronos Asa Betzalel. Now we're talking about the Aron here. That Betzalel made three Aronos. Now, he didn't make three Arons, right? The Aron was made out of three boxes. As the Gemara explains, Emsai Shal Eitz Tisha, the middle box was 9 tefachim, I guess tall and deep. Pnimi Shalzav Shmona, the inside one was 8, and Chiton Asaru Mashu, and the outside one was 10 and a little bit. Meaning there are three boxes, one inside the other, gold, wood, and gold. And obviously, right, they had to be smaller, right? If it was going inside each other, right? You ever play with a kid's toy, right? You have these little blocks that go inside each other, one smaller than the next. So the middle, the inside one was 8 tefachim deep. The middle one was 9, and the highest one was 10. Where it says, "I v'atanya achadasar mashu." Well, didn't we learn that not that it was 10 and something, but it was 11 and something? Where it says, "Lokasha ha'kamada amar yish be'ovio tefach." Right, this brisa meaning talks about if there's a thickness on the bottom of a tefach, meaning that the base had to be a little bit thicker, so therefore it was a tefach thick, so therefore it was 11 and a half, or 11 and something. And according to the first one, right, that we just quoted, was that said there was no, that everything was thin, just right all around, right, there was no thickness of a tefach on the bottom. So Gemara says, Rai Mashu, so what's the extra, right, that's 10 and a little bit, so that is the zer, that is the crown, but it says, zer zahav saviv, right, you have to make a crown, quote unquote, all around. It wasn't really a crown, it was like a rim, almost, like a golden rim around the Aron. But again, if you have the picture books, right, it comes out very nice. Right, a very, very beautiful type of little, like a, almost like on the back of a talus, right? What do they call those things? An atara. Right, just like a little, kind of like rim, lip around the Aron on top, that was decorative. Okay, Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan, it says, Shlosh Azerim, there are actually three of them. Right, Shal Mizbeach, one of them around the Mizbeach Hazav, Shal Aron, one of these Zerim, one of these little lips, those little rims, decorative rims, right? One of them was around in the Mizbeach Hazav, one of them Shal Aron, one was in the round of the Aron, Vishal Shulchan, the Shulchan had one as well. Shal Mizbeach, Zoch Aron Venatlo, Aron actually took the one on the Mizbeach. Okay, interesting. Right, it was given to him. Again, the Pasuk says, right? The Pasuk says in the what's it called? And obviously not Aaron himself, right? He passed away before, right? While it was still in use, but right, his children took that. Shal Shulchan Zocha David v'natlo. David took the one on top of the Shulchan, just lost the place, right? Okay, yeah. And Shal Aaron Adayim Munachu, but the one on top of the Aaron is still there. Kol Rotzel Likach Yavo V'Yikach. Anybody wants it can come and take it. Right, now, what in the world does that mean? So the pashtus is right. The Aron represents Torah Shebal Peh. Right? Aron represents the Torah. The Luchos were in the Aron, so it doesn't mean that there's still gold right attached to it. Right, it means that anyone can come and take quote unquote the crown, the zer right of the Aron. Anyone can come and be in Talmud Chacham. It's not limited to anybody. Right, everybody can sit and learn. Torah is open to everybody. Shema Tomar Pachosu. Maybe you'll tell me it's less than those two crowns that the Kohanim and the right, Beis David, the Malchus Beis David took. So Shema Tamar, the Talmud Omer, therefore the Pasuk says, Ki Melachim Yimlochu, right, through me there will be kings. Right, that's, again, that the Kosh Baruch Hu will decide, right, who is greater. Right, the Talmid Chachamim, right, they certainly have a worthy crown as well. Rabbi Yochanan noticed that there are psukim that are different. And again, usually Rami is reverse of psukim, right, but here he's talking about spelling. Between the crowns, right? It says Ksiv Zar, right? It says Zer, right, without the Yud, which would theoretically be pronounced Zar, which is a non-Kohen or someone who's not Jewish or something weird like that, a stranger, who karinan zer, but we say, right, we read it as zer zahavsavir, right, as zer, as a crown. So zacha, which teaches us that if the person is zacha, so that nasus lo zer, the Torah becomes a crown for him, but lo zacha, zara hemenu, right, it becomes far away from him, he becomes a stranger to it, right, and we know that, unfortunately, if Torah is not learned in the proper manner, right? If it's learned just as an intellectual pursuit, very often, right, the people who learn it end up hating it, right? Are not necessarily religious people. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan also noticed the following stira. Ksiv, the pasuk says on the one hand, v'asisa lecha aron eitz, right, you should make an aron made out of wood. Ksiv, v'asu aron atzei shitim, and then the pasuk says, right, so, right, that you should make a wood. An aron of not eitz but atzei shitim. So what should you make it from? So he says, it's not a steer in what you should make it from, right? Obviously, it was made out of atzei shitim, but mikam latam lechacham, shebnei iro mitzuyin lo, mitzuyin lasus lo melachto. Right, that again, usually when a Talmud Chacham, right, has people in the city are able to do malacha for him. The stira is not between the wood. First, the stira, the pasuk says v'asisa, that he should make it, meaning Hashem was talking to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then it says v'asu, meaning that the people should make it. So here we say that the people in the city, right, should do the work for a Talmud Chacham. Right, we should support Torah learning, right, to make sure that the Talmud Chacham is taken care of. Okay, umibayis umichutz tizapenu, right, from what's it called that. From inside and out, you should coat it, meaning, it, again, as we said, it was gold, wood, and gold. So it was covered on both sides with gold. Amarava, kol tam chacham, shein tocho kabaro, eno tam chacham. Gemara quoted in Brachos, and I think Daf Chafav, or whatever, right? The machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Shimon ben Azariah, I think. Tocho kabaro, that a tam chacham has to be, right, inside like his outside. I mean, he can't be fake. Right? Any Talmud Chacham was fake. Inside is not like his outside, so he's not really a Talmud Chacham. Right? You got to be real. Right? And people can sense this. Right? And very, very often people can sense this, and unfortunately, right? Unfortunately, it happens that there are, you know, Talmud Chachamim who are catapulted to positions of authority. But again, people, right, more or less, are able to sense a faker. Right? Then that's not really. If you're not true to what you're learning, so then you're not a true Talmud Chacham. Amar Rabbi, he says, V'itema Rabba Bar Ula, right, Amar, he said, okay, V'nikra Nisav, right, he's called disgusting. Shnemar's pasuk says, Avki Nisav V'nelach Ish Shote Kamayim Avla. Okay. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yonasan, Ma'i Dechtiv, what does it mean when the pasuk says, Lama Zem Echir Biyad Ksil Liknos Chachma V'ein, Uvelev V'ein, why is there money, why does an idiot have money to buy Chachma, to buy intelligence? V'lev ein, but he doesn't have a good heart, right? He doesn't have a heart to understand it. So, oy lahem l'sonim shel talmid chachamim, oy vei, for the talmid chachamim, right? Again, it's also talking about, says the enemies, but it's talking about the talmid chachamim themselves, right? Oy vei, for the talmid chachamim, she'oskim b'torah v'im b'im yir shamayim, who learn Torah, but they don't have yir shamayim, right? Yir shamayim, right, is if they deal in chachma, they don't have a heart to understand it, though, right? Again, people have to also, right, what does Hashem ask from us? Kiyum liyara also, right? The pasuk in Sefer Tzvarim. Hashem wants us to fear him, right? That's first and foremost. Again, fear, yiras Hashem, just agav to point out, because I snapped to the translation of fear, doesn't necessarily mean fear, it also could mean awe. Okay, that's a whole discussion of what yiras Shemayim means, but a proper respect, shall we say, for Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? That's probably the starting point, right? Machru is Rabbi Yane says, Chaval al deles le darta, v'tara de le darta avid. Again, we had this already in, where was this? I forget, we had this once before. Right, oyvei, that a person doesn't have a chatzer, right, but he makes a gate. Right, again, the same idea, that a person learns Torah, but he doesn't have Yir Shamayim, so he's making a gate for a chatzer that he doesn't have. Right, Amar lehu Rava l'Rabbanan, Rava said to his students, right, b'matusa minaychu lo tirsun tarte gehenem. Please, I'm begging you, do not go to Gehenem twice. Right, what in the world does that mean? So, if you look at Rashi, so Rashi says, it's like a little bit higher up, right? It's like the first skinny line in Rashi. Torah to Gehenna, what does that mean? Leos, the Yegeim Va'amelim B'Torah B'Olam Hazeh, meaning you're going to work your tuchus off in Olam Hazeh, right? And you know, have sweat, blood, sweat, and tears, but you won't fulfill it. But then you'll inherit Gehenna when you die, because at least in this world, you didn't enjoy it at all. Meaning, you lived the life of the Talmud Chacham, you lived the simple you know, life, you learned so much Torah, right? But then you didn't internalize it. You didn't have your Shemayim. So not only, right, you didn't were Mekayim the Torah. So not only did you miss out on the next world, right, you're also missing out on this world, says Rav. It's like almost tongue-in-cheek, almost like that. If you're going to go to Gehenna, you might as well enjoy yourself in this world, right? It's stupid for you to not. Obviously, he wanted them to learn Torah and not go to Gehenna in the next world, right, to be Mekayim the Mitzvos. But he was saying, like, why would you go to Gehenna twice? It's like, you know, you might as well just cut loose, right? A little bit, right? Obviously, that's not what he wanted them to do. I'm Rabbi Shuben Levi. Rabbi Shuben Levi says, "My dear, what does it mean when the pasuk says V'zosat Torah Shesam Moshe?" Right? From Ibn Israel, right? We know a very famous pasuk we say all the time, right? So, what does that mean? So, the word "sam," right? A sin is very so often interchangeable with a samach. So, sin, right? Zocha. If a person is zocha, right? If he's right, if he's zocha, if he's learning Torah for the right reasons, so nas is lo samchai, and the Torah becomes right an elixir of life, as they say. Lo zocha, but if not, so nas is lo sam nisa. Rachman al-Tlana should be that'll be a poison to him. Right, again, v'hein dama Rava. This is what Rava says: the uman la sama dechaya, someone who uses the elixir of life. If you don't use, and if you don't use it as an uman, if you don't use it as an uman as an expert, right, in whatever field he's using, right, if you don't use it in a proper way, so then it could be, God forbid, a poison. I'm Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman. Again, we see again very often, right? You see people who are learned in Torah, yet they're not Mekayim Mitzvos, right? And they have like a love-hate relationship with it, right? They follow it after intellectual pursuit, but it means nothing to them. So it's almost like they hate people who are religious because, I don't know, I guess because they're jealous. I'm not sure, but you see that right here, that it's a poison almost for them instead of the elixir of life, quote unquote. All right, I'm Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani. Rabbi Yonasan Rami. Rabbi Yonasan noticed two psukim, and so there's a contradiction. Ksiv, the pasuk says, "Pigudei Hashem Yisharim Yisam Chaylev." Right, the mitzvahs of Hashem make you happy. Ksiv, then the pasuk says, "Imras Hashem Tzrufa." Right, the word of Hashem melts. Kind of, it's not really melts, right? It's srof is to combine metal or to kind of work on metal. I forget the word. Maybe, smelt, yeah. Not melt, right? Smelt, right? To combine and work with metal, right? That's the word, let's srof, is to, literally nowadays it means to combine. Okay, either way, zacha, if a person is zacha, then the Torah will make him happy. But v'lo zacha, tzorafto, right? It'll make him, I guess, smelting is done with a hot fire, so I guess it's also a lashon of burning. So Rish Lakish, Amar Rish Lakish says, "Migufe de kron afka." You can even learn it from the pasuk itself. And zacha, if you're zocha, so rafto lechayim, right? It'll make you, right? It'll combine you for life, right? It'll smelt you, it'll burn you, but in a good way, right? To combine the metal, right? It'll make you for lechayim. Lo zacha, so rafto lemisa, right? It'll kind of drag you down to misa. Okay, Yiras Hashem Tehora Medes Lad, right? Yiras Hashem is pure, right? Forever. Amar Bechanina, zeh halamei Torah b'tara. Someone who learns Torah b'tara, myhi, what does that mean? Right, so he says, "No se isha ve'achakach lo made Torah." First, when a person gets married, and then he goes to sit married, then he goes to sit and learn. As Rashi says, right, a person is able to control his taivas if he's married, and then right, and able to sit and learn with a proper and clear mind. Eidus Hashem ne'amana. Right, what does that mean? I'm Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Ne'amana he lahayed belom de'ah. Right, the Torah is trustworthy. Right, to be made about the Torah itself is made. It testifies about the people who learn it. And again, I think we see that all the time. Right, you see that the Torah that a person learns, right, very often stands for him to show his amelus and his character and his quality of life. Okay, let's go to the two dots, even though it's like a bit of a strange two dots. It's a departure. But now we've finished the Agadah here. Now we're going back to the Mishkan. Okay, fine. We'll just get to the two dots. Anyway, Ma'aseh Rokem, right? Again, the Begadim, right, were Ma'aseh Rokem. Rokem was someone who worked in cloth. So, and it also said Ma'aseh Choshev. Right? Also, what does that mean? So, Rabbi Elazar, Sharokmim B'machem Shechoshven. They would, literally means they would like, kind of like, I forget exactly the translation here. But they would, that's the way they would work it. And a Rokem, I'm trying to see if there's Rashi over here. No, not exactly. It does. If you look at Rashi, Sharokmin B'makom Shechoshven, right? B'tchila Metakin Atzura. Oh, that's correct. Right. If you look at Rashi, it's like seven lines down in Rashi. Sharokmin B'makom Shechoshven. What does that mean? B'tchila Metakin Atzura Ala Beged Ali Deitzeva. Right. If you can imagine, they used to the modern day equivalent. They used to take a pencil and draw out whatever image they needed to make on the clothing. And then they would sew it in afterwards. Tana Mishmei Rabbi Chaimia. He says Rokeim. He says that is my samechet. That is sewing. The fichach partzuv echa. And therefore, on that side, wherever you sewed on that side, right, whatever design you were doing, that was only on one side of the cloth that we were talking about. V'choshev, but if it's choshev, that's already ma'isa oreg, that's already weaving. And if you have shnei partzufos, then you could see it on both sides. That you had have different designs, right? Rashi already points out, right? Sometimes the cloth and that went over the mishkan, right? Sometimes one side had a lion, one side had an eagle. Okay, either way, but then in that scenario, you would have two designs, one on each side. Okay, shkoyach kodol rabosei, we'll go back to the heligish shas tomorrow. Very exciting to finish the perek tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, and go weiter in the Masechta. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.